Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Hello, John Havens, the augmented reality and social media thought leader, recently wrote a piece on Mashable called The Value of a Happiness Economy. And he made a lot of points that I found interesting and quite provocative, so I've asked him to be with me today to talk about it. Now, before I welcome John, here are a few things you might want to know about him. He is currently Executive Vice President Strategy and Engagement at Yosi TV, a media strategy agency. And before that, he headed up social media at Porto Novelli. He wrote the book Tactical Transparency way back in 2008 when companies were just discovering the power of social media. And now, once again, he's on the leading edge of thinking as it relates to the economics of happiness. So, hi, John. It's great to be able to interview you today.
Hey, Denise. Thank you so much for having me.
So, John, tell us, why has happiness gotten so much attention lately?
There's a number of reasons. Probably the biggest is that the United Nations held an event back in April of this year, after for about a year, asking for work and contribution of studies on the ideas of happiness. So most of the more global attention that's come really in the past couple months was because of that UN event.
And so can you say more about the event and maybe what was learned or what were some of the outcomes of that?
Sure. So most people, and this is myself included, you hear happiness and you think of the ephemeral idea of happiness. So that means, you know, I like ice cream, right? But obviously happiness is very subjective and you and I would have different things that would make us happy. The United Nations focus was based on a country called Bhutan, and Bhutan has metrics of happiness that are actually focused on well-being. So well-being, most people think there's about 10 metrics of well-being that correspond to things that have hard measures. So for instance, at well-being, there are well-being metrics for economy, for environment, which doesn't just mean how the environment near you is thriving. It also means, do you have time as an individual to spend in the environment, and do you have, you know, nature nearby? And then things like community, which is do you have a safe community? So these different metrics have hard stats to them. Like, so for instance, one that a lot of people talk about, there's the numbers in the U.S., $75,000 is an annual salary for a family's combined income. Going under $75,000, you can see exponentially depression rates going up. And a salary above $75,000, even into the billionaire mark, you can't necessarily find people becoming, quote, happier or having a higher well-being just because they're making more money.
Wow.
So a lot of the work of Bhutan has been, and now the UN, and there are now countries like the UK, and then states and cities like in the states, Seattle and other cities, that are doing different types of happiness initiatives, where it starts out typically with a survey of an entire community or town or city or area to measure these different metrics. And that gives a starting point to say, like, well, you know what, in Seattle, there's a great balance towards the environment. People are very environmentally focused, but there's not as much focus on education. So it's really a bellwether to say, how is this community, and then as you combine communities and make a city and combine cities and make a nation, versus, say, a gross domestic product, a GDP measure, which doesn't factor in things like the value of an education or the value of an education for an entire country.
Right.
The logic here is the UN is saying these are the things we need to focus on as we move forward to actually change economies, not just the ideas of people's happiness.
Right, right. So what is the brand implication? Like, how do companies tap into this interest in well-being? How can they use some of the stats and metrics that you're talking about?
Well, probably the one that has the most data around it is that employees, especially younger employees, millennials and younger, want to work at companies that have some kind of social purpose to what they do. And so why I bring that up is that, you know, in the past, for lack of a better term, that feels kind of squishy, you know, like corporate social responsibility, when a brand is involved with a philanthropy or a charity, it sort of used to be, and I'm being general and hyperbolic, but for the sake of your question, you know, a lot of times a C-suite level person would have some kind of life-changing event. They went on a trip to Africa, and then they take on an issue that's very personal to them, which is great, right? Now these ideas, and this is part of the Mashable series that I have been doing on online influence, and this is the last one, The Value of the Happiness Economy. One whole article I wrote was on the ideas of evolved corporate social responsibility and these ideas of shared value. And what shared value means is that instead of just having, and there's something wrong with philanthropy or charity, but instead of a business saying, let's adopt this this cause that we're interested in, it's a larger a strategic viewpoint from really a central marketing idea to say, here's how we're going to drive the strategy of our organization based on shared value, which means a larger kind of sense of social good or social purpose, but based on what our business is about. And so I say all that with regards to happiness. There's hard metrics showing that employees will only work at a place that's demonstrated that they have a larger sense of social purpose. And by larger sense, it's something where there is kind of baked into an organization versus kind of satellited on for corporate social responsibility. So long answer, except to say that initially, for lack of a better way to put it, am I going to be happy working at a brand that does not have some sense of social good? And so while a brand wouldn't say we're a happy brand to work at, at least yet, they could if they were able to measure, here's these 10 metrics of well-being as they apply to our organization.
It strikes me, listening to your description, that it really is transforming the way companies would think about their value and the value they're creating, that it's not just financial value, but it is an emotional value and a well-being value that is as important, if not more important, than some of the more traditional metrics.
That is exactly right. I mean, and again, this is by no means to be pejorative to the more traditional aspects of corporate social responsibility, which usually typically involve like compliance and what have you. But when you think about, so shared value for a company means from the core of what we do as an organization, and by the way, the thought leaders, whether you like all their different practices or not, in these areas are people like IBM, Walmart, GE, the work they've done with Eco Imagination. These are companies who said, if we see a profit to be made,
yes,
not from a PR standpoint of sounding cool because we're doing philanthropic stuff, but by finding market opportunities when they can go to places and say, when we understand all of the pieces around this aspect of our business, which includes culture, education, where we're going to be in the community, when we can make improvements, and that's the idea of shared value, triple or quadruple bottom line metrics, where those things happen, you actually see over the course of 10 or 20 or 30 years more profit to be made, right? So that the analogy I'm making there is happiness is ephemeral, right? But these metrics of well-being have almost one-to-one metrics with how businesses try to increase profitability.
Yes, yes. Well, terrific. Before we wrap up, John, I wanted to give you a chance to tell me a little bit about your work at Yossi. And, you know, I would love to just kind of get more of an update from you on that.
Sure. Thank you for asking. So we're a media strategy organization, and we work to find social entrepreneurs, people that we call social innovation rock stars. And we find opportunities for them, shared value opportunities, like I mentioned, to connect them with brands or organizations. And our goal is to take these two different sides of the coin, as it were, these entrepreneurs in the trenches, these larger enterprises, and find these different social issues or maybe a business issue, to have those two parties collaborate in such a way that we can find solutions and say, hey, look, these great entrepreneurs are helping the business and vice versa. And then we create a B2C-focused media around those collaborations. So that might be a 10-part documentary series called, like, The Future of Work, where a brand and a bunch of entrepreneurs who are kind of forging the way that employees are going to work happen, or it might be a big reality show, or it may be something of a smaller scale.
Right.
And our tagline is called Making Social Innovation Pop. So it's kind of a double entendre. We want to make social innovation or the work that people are doing as popular as, you know, Justin Bieber or, you know, popular bands or whatever.
Right, right. Well, you've clearly set out, I think, a very compelling vision, and it's it would be interesting to see and learn more about how you work with your clients to actualize that. So for my listeners, if you would like more information, please feel free to reach out to John at john@yoxi.tv, and that's yoxi.tv. And if you want to just be challenged more as well, you can follow John on Twitter. His Twitter handle is John C. Havens, and that's H-A-V-E-N-S. John, thanks so much for talking with me. I've learned a lot, and I can't wait to learn more.
Well, I really appreciate your interest, and it's great to talk to you and to catch up.
All right. Talk to you soon.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.